Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning to you, beautiful family of Pneuma East. So good to be back with you. What a beautiful family you are. And, you know, I haven't been... you know, here for a few months, but during those few we don't stop hearing great reports about Pneuma East. We're just hearing great reports, so much so that some of the staff that are even present here today that work kind of like in the senior pastor office, they said to me, could we come to Pneuma East? And I said no. people from city, the executive, are coming here, they're ministering here, and they're coming back to me and they're going, could we go Pneuma East? And I said no. So God's doing a beautiful thing in your midst, hey. God's doing a beautiful thing in your midst. And you've got amazing pastors. You're so blessed to have the pastors that you have in JJ and Paulina. And you could really feel the health and the spirit. You can feel the right trajectory. God's on a really good thing for you. I want to encourage you, please don't stop. Please don't stop. I'm standing there in worship, and it's good. And it's like God's taking you on this journey. But I feel the heart of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to drench you. So please don't stop. Please don't become satisfied. Good so far. Great, great. Thank you, Jesus. But the Holy Spirit's got so much more for Pneuma East. Don't look to any other Pneuma location. Look to the Holy Spirit. Look to the Holy Spirit. Who knows what God will do in your midst? Who knows what kind of groundbreaking, fire-setting, glory-filled church that is about to be spill over in the name of Jesus, yeah? Oh, okay.
Do I sound any better? No. That's a setup, Mark. It's not even working. You took away something that was working to give me something that isn't working.
All right, well, let's pray and get into God's word. Lord, you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. We love you. We thank you and we honour you. We're not here, King Jesus, to play church. We're not here because of a run sheet or a service. We're here because we rally around you. We lift you up. We honour you. We love you. We ask you to have the preeminence. We ask that all the glory, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Glorify Jesus, we pray. I pray that every countenance that is bowed down would be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do what is in your heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, before we get into the word, just another thing that was happening a lot in worship, so I just want to get it out of my system very quickly. The phrase of the Christ of Bartimaeus just kept on running through my heart, and I'm like, Lord, what is that? But I know what the Lord did was Bartimaeus. He opened up a blind man's eyes. And while some things could happen in the natural so that they can translate in the spiritual, just right now, is there anybody whose eyesight is deteriorating or affected or challenged? Anybody? So just raise your hand. Yeah. So all of those who have raised hands, please just keep your hands raised, but keep them raised. Family, can I just ask us all to get around? You know how to do this. The healing comes from the healer who is the Christ, but I just need us to get around all of our brothers and sisters. Those with hands raised, can I ask you to put your other hand on your affected eye or eyes? Lay your hand on your own eye or eyes. And Son of David, Christ of Bartimaeus, the one who has come to open up blind eyes, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit,
We ask you for anointing oil and a miracle of sight to be restored 100%. 2020 vision, even right now. You said they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ, blind eyes see right now. Deteriorating eyes, the attrition stops, recovery and strength, fullness of sight. Sight in the name of Jesus Christ, the gift of full sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak to every cell, every nerve in your eyes. Be restored in the name of Jesus right now. Resurrection power. Thank you, Son of David, that you are here right now in this auditorium, laying hands on every son and daughter to open up eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We receive the miracle of sight. Amen and amen. 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 Okay, let's get into the Word of God. By the way, because because the Lord will heal your eyes, I just need you at some stage to tell your leadership team so that they can celebrate Jesus. That's all. Okay, I want to talk to us today. Obviously, we're in a series here about revival, and I just want to begin our conversation today by saying that the Holy Spirit has declared the end from the beginning. Jesus is coming back. He hasn't cancelled his return, which is good news for the church. But according to Ephesians 5:27, he's coming back for a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, holy, without blemish. I need us to get that in our spirit. Jesus is not coming back for a limping church. He is not coming back for a limping church. The book of Revelations, chapter 22 and verse 17, says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, hang on. The Spirit and the bride is the church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit and the bride, which means that the bride of the latter day is going to be totally in sync with the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit is on, the bride is going to be on. Whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, the bride is going to be doing. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying, the bride is saying. Wherever the Holy Spirit is going, the bride is going. The bride and the Spirit are going to be so synchronized. Okay, that's good. That's good. What does that mean? That means that we are going to be living as a revived church, a church that is saturated with the presence, the union of the Holy Spirit. That's why I want to encourage us, do not settle for a substandard redefinition of Christianity. There is a substandard redefinition of Christianity that has the current Christianity, especially in the Western world, full of bells and whistles, full of noise, but void of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It has no effect at all on kingdom. It's too fast songs, too slow songs, full of hype, full of emotionalism, and the city is dying. And God is not interested. God is not interested in phony, cheap alternatives. God is coming back for a beautiful bride. I'm telling you now, don't settle for anything less. This is to be a glorious, holy, without blemish, without wrinkle, full of power, full of presence church. Nothing diluted. There is no diluted gospel except a false gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's why revival, the revived life, is not an event. We are not after an event. We are not after a conference. We are not after where we think revival, that the end of revival are great services. Revival, we are talking about reformation.
We are talking about people who are back to the original condition of proximity to the Holy Spirit, saturated in the presence of a holy God, on fire, not on the outside, not shouting like me the whole time, but on the inside, your spirit is on fire for God and the things of God. The life of Jesus is manifest inside you, inside me. It's not about whether I'm an accountant or a teacher or a stay-at-home mum or I get paid by the church. It's about that I am a son, a daughter of God on fire to bring kingdom order to my world. Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of individual revived life that the Lord is after. And I want to talk to the greatest marker of revival today. I want to talk to the greatest marker because I know this, when God comes with anything authentic, the devil has a way of distorting through cheap substitutes. Copies of the true that confuse the people of God. So I trust you're going on this journey. What does revival look like? How do we live in a revived state? So do that journey, but I just want to speak to the greatest marker, the greatest marker of a revived life, the greatest marker of a revived church, the greatest marker, what does that look like? So we never miss the epicenter of what it is to be a revived life and a revived church. Would you open up with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33? Book of Exodus 33. Verse 10. Actually, I'll read it on there. The writing's bigger on there. This is Moses having a conversation with the Lord. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his own tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. I want you, if it's your Bible, just note that. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. If it's your Bible, please underline that as well. Moses and Joshua had one thing in common. They were people of proximity and presence. Okay. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." Next verse. "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." He said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. How then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So we shall be separate. Here's the first thing that I really want to bring to our attention. In this whole thing with Israel coming out of Egypt, which I don't know about you, but I'd call that a revival. If you are under repression, if you are under slavery, and then the Lord takes you into wide open spaces to become fully blossomed, to become fully you, and you are led by at least a million women with tambourines. I'm feeling it. Any of my African sisters feeling it? I'd call that a revival. I'd call that a massive breakthrough, particularly that it's been preceded by mighty signs and wonders. I'd call the manifestations of that revival, hey, wow, one powerful encounter after another powerful encounter, etc., etc. How many times do we come to church and what we look for is manifestations and we think that's revival? Interesting. But Moses, right at the core of it, was saying to God, God, he's the epicenter. Your provision, so even manna every morning, your power, even breakthrough, all of that is good, Lord, but unless your presence go with us, do not send us up from here. What's he saying? He's saying your presence is much more wonderful than your blessings. Your presence is what revival is. Your presence to me is more wonderful than your hand, than your work, than your breakthrough, than your blessing, than your provision. Your presence is everything. And that's why he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Hang on a minute. Where was here? The desert. He was saying, God, I would rather be in hardship. I would rather have no home, no field. I would rather have no business. I would rather have no field, no vineyard, no shopping center, no recreation, and have your presence than have all of those things and not have your presence. I would rather be in tribulation and trouble, yet be soaked in union with your presence than have everything else without your presence. I would rather be in the desert, he's saying to God. Listen, the revived life doesn't mind being uncomfortable as long as it's saturated in the presence of God. The priority of revival is proximity. I mean, let's just rewind a little bit. Rewind a little bit and read the Word of God more accurately. When the Lord was taking Israel out of Egypt, where was he taking them anyway? You know what most Christians will say? He was taking them to the promised land. Can I just say that's kind of correct? And I'm being nice. That was actually a subsequent revelation. Do you know that the Lord doesn't even talk about that? He says, bring my people out that they may serve me in the wilderness. Wow. Do you know how many times the Lord says that? Do you know how many times that's captured in the book of Exodus? 11 times before he even talks about the land flowing with milk and honey. Where was the Lord taking Israel anyway? He was taking them out to the place of his presence, where he himself had met Moses, so that they can become people of presence. That's why Moses was addicted to the presence. He says, I don't care what I have. I am not inheriting a what. I am inheriting a who. Yeah. Yeah. My greatest inheritance in revival is not that I see all of these manifestations and that. It's that I am one with the presence of God. I live in the presence of God. The presence of God is not an event in my life. The presence of God is not an hour and a half in a service on a Sunday. The presence of God is where I live. It's my address. Mm-hmm. You know, that's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is when he called the people out, he didn't call them to a place, he called them to himself. Book of Exodus, chapter 19 and verse 4, the Lord says this. He says, you saw how I took you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and how I bore you on eagle's wings to bring you to myself, not to a land flowing with milk and honey, not to a particular condition of what life looks like, but to myself. To myself. The wisdom of God does that. Do you know why? The wisdom of God does that so that we can love God more than we love his blessings. And if you track the journey, this was a constant point of tension. Israel always wanted the stuff, the blessing of God. Moses always wanted to bring them to God, to God's presence, because he himself had encountered what that meant. He himself, when he got into God's presence and he had that encounter with the burning bush, he was never the same again. His heart had changed, his priorities had changed. The deep longings of his ambitions had changed. His identity had changed. Who the man was totally recalibrated, not because he attended a good service, but because he encountered and was saturated in the great I am. Revival is being saturated with the great I am. You know what revival is? You become the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit as an individual, and then as a collection, all this becomes a God space. All this is a God space where you become the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God lives, dwells, actively occupies? Our God is a consuming fire. We don't worship a mini God. So what happens is on the inside, you begin to participate in divine life in an unusual way. You begin to see as Jesus sees. You begin to feel like Jesus feels. You become inseparable from the motivation of heaven. Whatever you see the Father doing, you begin to do. Why? Because you're a person of presence. You're a church soaked in presence. So Israel had this constant tension. Constant tension. Where's our stuff? They'd go to Moses. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. The garlic. The melon. The onions. The leeks. Can you believe it? They wanted garlic, Prophet Roman, they wanted garlic more than they wanted God. They're like, well, where's our stuff? Where's our stuff? And it was always a point of tension. Now, okay, why am I harping on about this? You know why? Because I feel like the modern day church has preached more about what Jesus can do for you rather than you being close to Jesus. But I'll tell you this. If you stray from God's presence, your heart's going to make a golden calf. For sure. That's why the greatest revival does not begin with signs and wonders. It has those, but they're byproducts. You know what they're byproducts of? Proximity. The greatest revival is when we return individually and therefore collectively to the proximity intended by God, the proximity that Moses lived in, the proximity that Joshua lived in. They lived in this proximity, this closeness to God. The greatest revival is to be drenched, to be soaked in the presence of God. That's the greatest revival. The unfortunate thing is we're going to have to get our hearts, our minds, our ways around that, because the modern disciples that have been cultivated follow Jesus for benefit. Modern disciples, in all truth, seek what they can get out of God. Can I get a miracle? Can I get a breakthrough? Can I get a husband? Can I get a job? Now, all of those things our God loves to give. But we have made God a means to an end rather than the end in himself. I don't know if you've ever had friends. We all cross paths with friends in life. You go on a bit of a journey and then you realize they're not in it because of social intimacy and because we love one another. They're in it because they want to get something out of it. Do you know how many marriages we see in the pastoral realm that become totally devastated because of objectification. A person married another person because they objectified them, to bring them status, to put them in right social circles, to give them a particular lifestyle or wealth, etc., etc. That means you are objectifying the person. We do that with the Lord God. We start emphasizing the blessing more than the one who died for us and rose again. This is where the Apostle Paul, he says that he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him. For him. You get to a point where, Lord, I don't care what I have. I don't care what I get. All of that's all good, Lord. All good, all in your hand. But God, you are my inheritance. You are my inheritance. I am inheriting a who, not a what. Matter of fact, open up with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, because this has been God's heart ever since the beginning. I've got 10 minutes. Wow. Okay, I'm going to go real fast. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 1. Priests and Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no inheritance. I want you to see that. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire in his portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. Why? The Lord is their inheritance. Can I just say that's always been the case? The deviation has happened since the fall, but revival is coming back to the epicenter of all things that are in God. The Lord is our inheritance. That's why in the proclamation, even in the New Testament, when that Jesus was coming back to re-establish kingdom order in the heart first before he establishes it in society, he says, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Back to the presence, back to proximity, back to a heart that is united to God. Back to that is what we are called to. So here's what I'm saying to you. The epicenter of revival is that you and I become God's holy space. The epicenter of revival is that you and I become the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. God is not a department in my life. God is not an exciting event. I literally become his tabernacle, his dwelling place, his presence. His presence becomes everything. Union with him, I become saturated. I'm relentless about every crevice, every affection of my heart being saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to let go of my heart until my heart is filled full to the brim and overflowing with nothing but the presence of God. Presence. That's why he's saying, unless your presence... Please, we are called to seek the Lord, not his manifestations. Manifestations will happen, but that's not what we pursue. We are going after God. We are going after loving God with every fiber of our being. And all of the manifestations will begin to happen. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, even of what we have made in the Pentecostal church nowadays, of gifts of manifestation. What I mean by that, gifts of the Holy Spirit, of revelation such as prophecy and words of knowledge. You know, if I read scripture correctly, and I reckon I do just simply because Jesus said it, not me. Book of John chapter 15 and verse 15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things I know from the Father I have declared to you. You know what that means? It means that Jesus telling you and I things is a matter of friendship. You know what we have made them? We have made them a matter of power and ministry. It's not a matter of power and ministry, it's a matter of friendship. We have made it that everything that God is telling me is, and sure, there are times where the Lord will tell you something so you can bring encouragement to somebody or bring healing to somebody or bring somebody closer to the Lord. So that's all good. That's all beautiful. But can I just say, I reckon at least 90% of the things that the Lord is saying to you and I, he's saying it just because you're his friend. Otherwise, it's not going to be his voice, it's going to be his orders. Okay, let's land this thing quickly. So what's proximity with God? What's the epicenter of being a person of presence, a person that carries the presence, loves the presence, hosts the presence, loves the presence, values the presence, does everything so that the presence of God 24/7, day and night, relentless person that is carrying the fire of his presence. What's that got to do with changing our society? What's that got to do with bringing reformation to a city? Well, can I just say everything? Because here's how it works. Nearness to God, your nearness, my nearness to God, causes likeness to God. Nearness to God is likeness to God. We want to do stuff. That's not what God is interested in. That is a totally different theology. That is a totally different intention to what's in God's heart. What God wants is image, then dominion. Book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let us create man in our image, let them have dominion. You have authority as a result of having Christ's likeness. Your nearness to God is going to make you like God. When you are made like God, when we are made like God, we begin to have the heart of God, we begin to have the faith of God, we begin to express the works of God, we begin to do the actions of God, and therefore, what is around us becomes alive because of he who is in us. I want to give you a couple of examples, then I'm going to leave it there. Just want to tell you, Moses was up against an entire nation of complainers. Anybody know any complainers in your world? Husbands and wives, please just keep your face. Look to me. I want good, healthy marriages. You know how hard it is to deal with complainers? Do you know how hard it is to deal with complainers? But you know what the problem is? They never change their spirit. You know why they never change their spirit? But he changed them to a nation of worship, a nation of submission. You know why? Because he was a man of presence. You read it in verse 11. He was a man to whom God speaks face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You know Joshua? Joshua had the same generation of people who were totally countercultural to kingdom. But we read Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. So you know what would happen? Joshua was not only not changed by his surroundings, Joshua changed his surroundings because he was a man of presence. David was found in the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and he had 400 discontented men in distress and men in debt. You know what that looks like when you got 400 dudes that are angry? They've got attitude with a capital A. They're ruthless. They're aggressive. And 400. And you know what? They were with him, the Bible says, for 10 years. Now, psychology tells us that your personality, my personality, is shaped by the closest people to us that we have had over the last 5 years. Yet you never see David become contaminated by what is outside, but turn those 400 men into mighty men of valor in the faith, and not only them, but the entire nation of Israel to become a nation of worship. How? Man of presence. One thing I have desired of the Lord. How does the church affect everything around it? It becomes a church of presence. Becomes a church of presence. You don't become a church of performance. You don't become a church of how proficient are we. I tell you what, The world's had a gut full of a church being in that space. The world needs to see a presence-centered church where the authentic living God is alive in individuals and collective. They walk into our service. It's not about how slick. It's not about our wonderful transitions. We have learnt junk. They want to see God in your midst. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Yes. That they will see God in your midst. And they'll go, God is in their midst. And it's undeniable, falling on their face. They will know that God is in your midst. God. They sense presence. But that can't happen because of our knowledge, our skill, our technical proficiency, our experience. That happens when we individually and collectively sign up. God, the greatest marker, the greatest thing. I'm no longer playing religion. I'm no longer playing churchianity. The greatest marker, I'm going to be soaked. I'm going to have a life that is soaked in your presence. Unless your presence goes. That's why Moses says, how will others know? The only distinctive, he says, the only distinctive that we are separate. The only way that we can influence what's around us and not be influenced by the Canaanites, Amorites, Perizzites, Vegemites, and the only way, Lord, your presence, unless your presence go with us. It's the only way. The only way. There is no other formula. It's going to be the only way. So I want to conclude this by just sharing one last verse with you. Because I just want to encourage us around one thing. Some people may be sitting here, and if worship team, you can join me. That'd be great. Some people sitting here and you're going, okay, that's all good. But you know what? It's all good maybe for, I don't know, church staff. It's all good. I haven't really been that kind of Christian. I haven't actually been either that intense, or I'm not really that much in the whole inner things. I'm too far away from that. I'm actually too far away from this presence. I just want to put to you two things. I want to put to you that when Jesus tore a veil from top to bottom to signify that it came as a result of heaven, not as a result of earth, that the presence of the Lord has gone out to all the earth to cover waters like, to cover the earth like waters cover the seas. The presence of the Lord has been unconditionally released now to be reinstated so that we can walk the Garden of Eden order again. And that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that the outpouring of his presence is not a performance-based, because the Lord's not going to give it to the holy. The Lord's going to give it to the hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, right? But I want to show you this. I want to show you that in the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Book of Hosea, chapter 11, and I think it's verse 8. If we can put it up on the screen, that'd be great. If not, I'll just read it out to you. But if you've got your Bible, please open to it. Book of Hosea, chapter 11 and verse 8. Lord says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How could I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adama? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns within me, my sympathy is stirred. Do you know, the Lord asked the prophet Hosea to go marry a prostitute to signify his relationship with Israel. When Israel was in spiritual prostitution, given over to idols, given over to the worship of a false god, given over to demons, the enemies of God, the Lord says, how can I give you up? My heart churns within me. He says, I can't do it. He says, my heart churns. That means my heart aggressively and violently longs for you. I can't give you up. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying simply this. You know, God's aggressive, violent longing for your presence is unchanging no matter what spiritual condition you are in. God this very day wants to soak you, drench you, not give you a drip. We're not talking about a drip feed. We are talking about open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. About wanting revival? Are you serious, or is it just a cute Sunday series that we have? Serious about being people that are soaked in the presence of God, people that carry God, not just in a service, but in life. Do you know why workplaces are not changing? Now you know why. So, New Maurice, I'm just going to ask you one thing. The epicenter of your life, the epicenter of this church has to be the soaking of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Soaking. Holy Spirit, drench you. Not Holy Spirit touch you, drench you. Lord's here to do it. Lord's here to do it. Lord's not just here to proclaim it. We're teaching at City at the minute of how Jesus came to preach and to bring the kingdom. It's one thing to preach it, it's another thing to bring it. And beautiful Messiah is here. I feel him right now. Jesus is here right now because he's the only one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Not just to proclaim good news, but to bring it, to literally bring it, that which is on the Messiah's head, on the high priest, down to the edges of his garment, the church, even right now. Please do not stand up. If you genuinely don't mean this, there's no expectation. But if you want, like more than anything, you're saying, you know what, God, I just want my life to be a tabernacle of your presence, Lord. I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to let go of my ways. I'm willing to let go of how I've done Christianity. I'm willing to unlearn and all I want to do is be a host of your presence. I want to be so addicted to your presence. I want day and night, Lord, day and night to be consumed by your presence. I want to host the dove well. I want you to fill me. I want you to overflow. Your kingdom come in me so that your kingdom can come through me, God. And God, I want nothing less unless your presence goes with me. Do not bring me up from here. God, I'm not after your stuff. I'm not after a promotion. I'm not after a breakthrough. I'm not after a church position. I am not after gifts of the Holy Spirit. I am not after nothing. I am after Jesus. I am after proximity. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him first, and then he might send them out to preach, but be with him. Your face is all I seek, God. Your face is all I seek. I want to love you more than I've ever loved you. I want to become so distracted by you that I can't really focus on anything else. I just want to be a kingdom person that lives in union with the Holy Spirit so that Jesus might be mightily glorified. God, your greatest priority is that I would love you. My greatest priority is that this love relationship, this divine romance would be unhindered. Take everything else, but give me Jesus, Lord. I don't seek signs, I don't seek wonders. I seek Jesus, God. Prune everything within me that's not that. Prune everything within me that's not that. So wonderful, Messiah, wonderful, 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 wonderful Jesus. You said that you would not give the Spirit by measure, that there wouldn't be a drip feed to your people. I pray in the name of Messiah Jesus, first Lord over every individual. Let your glory rest. Let your glory tabernacle. Oh God, on sons and daughters in a whole new way. In a whole new way, Lord, let your presence be so kabod on your people. Yeah, kabod on your people, Lord, kabod on your people. No more just gifts and expressions, but kabod on your people. Kabod on your people, God. Kabod on your people. Let every heart be a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Let every heart be a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. I pray over New Marist in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that the distinctive of this place would be your presence, God. Take away all professionalism. Undo this church, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Undo it. Undo it. Undo it. Undo its traditions. Undo its routines. Undo it. Undo it. Undo it. But let it host your presence well. Let it glorify your presence well. Let it express your presence well. Let it pursue your presence. Let it be the church, God, that doesn't care about what anyone says, that has one KPI, your presence, your presence, your presence, your presence.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. you can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.